Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Lamont says, this is what I feel about kneeling. It's stupid to me. Just more symbolic BS that don't mean anything. And it's a quote from Malcolm X. The white man will try to satisfy us with symbolic symbols rather than economic equity and real justice. I would say this. I think in the NFL, you're getting economic equity now. I think that, you know, there's fewer and fewer white guys, and they're probably playing interior line, offensive line.
Well, yeah, well, that's been a thing for a while.
Yeah, so I don't think you can accuse the NFL of not being equitable.
Maybe he's just talking about the white man as a whole. As far as the MLS is concerned.
Well, but the people that are kneeling are going to be white men on the field.
We were discussing, at least, I don't know if he's directly talking about what the MLS did, consider, because he tweeted about 2 minutes ago. So he might be. But once again, the MLS, they're black players, and the players who are on the field for the game, last night's restart, knelt for 8 minutes and 46 seconds. And not only that, they've decided, because those players said, hey, there's a lack of representation. Once we stop playing, where do our best players? Do our best players become part of the league? Do they get management positions? No. So they've started a group to hopefully help change that. So Lamont, if it ends with the kneeling and that's it, you're right. If it becomes something where players in the league become, black players in the league become more visible, maybe whether it be managers or executives, then the MLS is doing something correct. But yeah, if it stops at what happened last night, then whatever.
Yeah. No. Well, that's a good thing. Good. You know what? Players have a bigger voice than they've ever had. So the answer to your question, and John, we'll get you in here too. Chuck, do you want to answer the question that Dell asked?
Yes, I'd like to answer that. Dell asked, how would they feel about Colin Kaepernick? Nobody likes police brutality. Everybody in my family had no problem with the kneel. Some of them had a problem with the kneeling during the national anthem. They thought it was a better chance to get on TV if they maybe took some offsetting penalties at the start of the game instead of something that wasn't even televised. But nobody had a problem with Colin Kaepernick kneeling. And my personal opinion, Colin Kaepernick's not in the league because he created like a Tim Tebow problem with how many questions he was going to have to answer as a backup quarterback every week, and if some social issue came, nobody wanted to deal with that. But no, my family did not have a problem with that because my family does not support police brutality.
No, I didn't ask whether they had a problem with the kneeling. I asked whether they were done with the NFL once the NFL excluded him from the league.
Well, apparently not, because they just ended it with the Drew Brees stuff.
Yeah.
Let's get John in here on ESPN 97.5. Hey, John.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about Deshaun Watson, but had Dell. Colin Kaepernick wasn't excluded from the league. He opted out of his last year for $14.9 million. He could have stayed another year. So just end that right now.
But when he decided he wanted to play,
plus he was lousy. He lost his job to Blaine Gabbert twice the last season he was playing.
I think everyone is aware. Yeah, exactly. He was a backup at best, which means he could have been a backup someplace. That was the whole point. Not that he's a great player.
He chose not to play for $14.9 million.
He opted out of his deal. He didn't choose not to ever play again.
Yeah, there is a difference with now. I thought opting out was so stupid because all I could think of was, you're not going to get this on the open market.
No.
Like, that was obvious. He was not going to get
whatever.
I'm not sure why he opted out, unless he just didn't want to be in San Francisco.
They let him, he knelt and they let him kneel and everything.
About Watson.
Yeah.
Now about Watson. His remarks about white players need to tag along or there's going to be issues. See, we've gone from supposedly players being forced to stand for the national anthem. So now they're going to be ostracized for not kneeling. So is this any better? So now these players are going to be called out for not kneeling. Is that any better now? Are we in a better place?
Well, it's the same. It's just the other direction.
Yep. Yep.
That's what I'm saying. Well, yep. It's not any damn better.
No, I don't know. Yeah, here's the deal is you're not wrong. That's for sure. But because guys will be, I'm telling you, the story is not going to be who's kneeling. It's going to be who's standing for the national anthem. Mm-hmm. Because now you're not on board. You're not on board with the plight. So you are going to be ostracized. A coach, an older coach, an older white coach is going to have to do something that maybe he, I'm telling you, if I'm the head coach, I'm telling my whole staff, guys, you're going to kneel because we want a unified locker room. We have got to have a unified locker room, and we don't want guys looking, you know, your position players looking at you side-eyed saying, you're not on board. You're not on board with us. So we want to have a unified locker room with all the coaches, all the players, everybody on board. And it's going to be uncomfortable for those that don't. And they are going to be the ones. Remember how you used to go around the middle of the game if they didn't show? Well, hey, going back to pregame, here was Colin Kaepernick and Eric Reed kneeling before the game. And here's this guy kneeling and here's that guy kneeling. Now it's going to be, this guy's standing. This guy, he's not on board. He's not with the whole team. I wonder how uncomfortable that's going to be.
As far as uncomfortable, I was having this conversation with my mom, not necessarily directly about this, but maybe NFL players maybe have the same type of feeling about what you're uncomfortable about. I referenced yesterday about this surge of black men being hung across the country. And I thought, and I said that because that conversation with my mother was about, hey, I don't even think, because normally I would just walk around my neighborhood just to clear my head, just have headphones and just walk around at night. You know what I don't do anymore? I don't do it.
Do you really feel that uncomfortable walking around your neighborhood? You've been there for a while, right?
Yeah, it's not even about the neighborhood. I don't know who's rolling through. And you know why? And maybe that's an extreme reaction, but there are extreme things going on. So I don't know what those men felt at the time, and there are questions about whether it's suicide or not. That's a different discussion. I certainly have my view on that. But I'm sure if they're walking around someplace, they didn't expect to be pulled up on and dragged away. So if you're talking about being uncomfortable, if you're a black man in this country, a lot of your life is about being uncomfortable. So if you're a black player in that locker room, you say, you know what? The most uncomfortable you're going to feel is kneeling when a song is played and a flag is being flung. My life potentially is about being uncomfortable a lot of the time, as opposed to a 2-minute interval in your life.
Yep. I'm
uncomfortable a lot in this room.
Well, you have your
segments of the show.
Yeah, your partner does a lot of things that make you uncomfortable.
I get extremely uncomfortable with some things that are said on this on east of this microphone. To your west, Del, my east.
I understand what you're talking about. I think I'm north of it.
I'm pretty sure that's south. I'm north of this microphone.
No, I'm just going just from the room. I'm using Dell's the North Star.
I'm oddly enough, I'm from the north, which is probably because I should be from the south.
Uncomfortable. Yeah, you're not from the north.
No, I'm north of the microphone.
Oh, yeah. But like Chicago, that's Midwest. Like, I've never felt comfortable with the geography of, well, you know, good Midwestern people like up in Wisconsin. Hey, what? Those are Nordic people.
No, the Nordic people are Canadians.
No, it's Wisconsin. Whoa, all the blondies running around. And, whoa, like it's going to be warm today, 21. It's warming up. This isn't warm.
Let's get some brats.
Midwest to me is Kansas. But then again, I'm just looking at it from a geographical standpoint. Huh. Yeah, okay. Looks like Colorado is Midwest. Looks like it's Kansas. Nebraska.
Colorado's not Midwest.
But it should be.
No, it's mountain.
Middle West?
No, it's mountain.
I know, Midwest. Well, Midwest also shouldn't be way up, you know, where you're drive away from Philadelphia.
And people don't even really think of Midwest isn't even about location anymore. It's about a way
of life. Chicago's the Midwest.
I understand. But when people say Midwest sensibilities, it's not about really location. It's about how you live. If you're a farmer, Midwest.
No, but Chicago has the hospitality. It's like a small town, but it's a huge, huge city.
I don't feel
because that because of that hospitality.
No, I don't feel much hospitality coming from you.
Well,
no.
Are you kidding?
No, hey, I'm
you
not.
You come to Chicago, and I'll show you some hospitality. All right, take you around. You can watch people shooting each other. It'll be great.
That sounds great.
Sounds amazing. St. Louis.
Guess what? Guess what it is. Guess what it is. That's what it is.
St. Louis is Midwest.
St. Louis is Midwest.
Yeah, it's considered Midwest. Yeah. That feels like Midwest to me.
St. Louis.
Their fans are the
best. What is Detroit? What is Michigan? Michigan's not Midwest. Considered Midwest, is it?
I think Michigan kind of is Midwest.
That's considered Midwest.
Yeah.
Ohio's even Midwest.
Like, I once said, there was a buddy of mine, Zach, is a scout, and he is from the Michigan area. And I made a comment about, we were talking about girls and stuff that, you know, we're trying to get him set up. And actually, I think somebody listened to the show, may have dated him. But anyway, no names, please. I made a comment about, because I didn't know how to explain it any different than, but she's like a Michigan blonde. And he knew exactly, he's like, that's the most unbelievably descriptive phrase that I know exactly what you're talking about. He goes, where the roots are kind of showing. I said, yeah, it's exactly what I'm thinking of. Like, she may have played third base either in high school or on a co-ed team and in softball. I said, yeah. But she's straight. I said, yeah.
How would you describe a...
But she loves macaroni and cheese. I said, yeah, yes. This is... And I said, and also she's good with the leather. I mean, she can pick it. She can go backhand near the third base line, pick it, and make the throw across the diamond.
I know who you're describing right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel it. You just know. There's a person.
What about like a Wisconsin lumberjack girl? How would that be?
Yeah. Kind of bigger shoes.
Flannel.
Like, wow.
She's wearing flannel.
Sure.
Flannel, jeans.
A little more bone
density.
And those
hiking boots.
Couldn't be nicer. Knows how to make an incredible homemade dessert.
She's a California 2?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not trying to put numbers like that on.
Yeah, I don't. We put numbers on people.
I'm not trying to do that.
You're a numbers guy. What do you mean?
He is.
You're the numbers guy.
2 is seem fair if we're comparing across regions.
She's in L.A. too.
But that's why she's not leaving Wisconsin.
Well, she knows.
She's staying in Wisconsin.
Unlike
people from Wisconsin call Wisconsin.
She's not going to opt out like Colin did?
No one calls it Wisconsin. No.
Yes, they do. John Harris calls it Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
The Wisp barely even shows up.
Wisconsin.
He moved here from Marinette, Wisconsin when he was in fifth grade, and that's what
he lost it.
Wisconsin.
I spent more time in Wisconsin than he did.
Ask Joel.
I spent more time recently than either of those
two. In Marinette, Menominee?
No,
you weren't
in Green Bay. Yeah.
You weren't in real Wisconsin.
Green Bay?
Yeah, a bunch of interlopers.
Oh, my God.
There.
You don't
was
know
Greg
nothing.
Was Greg Jennings from, was Don Mikowski from Green Bay?
No, Virginia.
None of those guys playing there were from Green Bay because they don't create football players.
You think I was with the people, okay? I'm about the people, not about those of you. A lot of those guys were a-holes, okay? Okay.
Wisconsin?
No,
or the Packers. Yeah,
Packers. Time to talk about Champion Energy. Look, if you're looking for a great way, move to Wisconsin and you don't have to ever worry about air conditioning. But since we're here, we got to worry about air conditioning. When we worry about air conditioning, we got to worry about the prices that we're paying. When we worry about the prices that we're paying, we go to champion.energy/1560 because Champion Energy is the best price at the end of the day. The end of the day, it's all about the end of the day. It's about the bottom line and how much I'm paying every month. I just got my bill. It's like, whatever, nothing. I mean, it's easy. I'm not even scared of you. I used to be scared of my bill before I had Champion Energy. It was ridiculous. You will find a difference immediately when you go to champion.energy/1560.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, 817 ESPN 97.5. I know this, Judge John Granato is convicting the lumberjack woman of any crime, that's for sure. That's not true.
No, the lumberjack woman, she's a nice woman.
She's a nice woman.
The Wisconsin woman is
she's not
nice
necessarily
woman.
All that hot. I think that's the point.
Yeah, I don't have my gavel.
See, you didn't live in Wisconsin.
Speculative.
You didn't. No, it's not.
Argument.
Fact.
Speculative.
Just facts. You didn't live there.
I'm going to let him continue.
You don't know about it.
Overruled.
You don't
continue
know about
on.
It. Dez says, I have a neighbor who trains for bodybuilding. When this stuff blew up, he posted on Facebook page warning people that he'd be out exercising in sweat, so please don't call the cops or harass him. Man, that does. When it affects your life the way you said, Dell, that, you know what, I don't feel comfortable going out on a walk, that sucks.
And like I said, it might be something that's just in my head, but the thought crosses your mind. And if when it does, it's like, because I was out. I think I opened my phone. I was walking. I saw some news break, and I'm like, what am I doing out here right now? Why am I walking around? Just because.
People are going to think you're just saying that, right?
I'm not.
But you know there's going to be people saying that Dell's being a drama queen.
That's
about
fine,
this.
But I know what I was thinking when I saw the news.
With all the stuff that goes on, how could you not think that if you're a black guy walking around a predominantly white neighborhood?
Is it?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Yes, I mean, I hang out there.
No, you
me
don't.
Me and Dell hang out.
No, you don't.
Yes.
Only because you won't tell him. Drop a pin in sometime.
I went over there. We went and...
Like, on a serious note, can we watch a soccer match or something together? You've got room at your house. It's not a one-bedroom.
I don't want you there.
Yeah,
when
drop Del, a pin.
When we used to do remotes, me and Dell would hang out afterwards and we'd just hang...
That's
just
a lie.
No.
Why do you just lie?
I don't believe that's accurate.
And we watched like the Cubs game at 1 o'clock.
What? Why will we watch the Cubs?
Because it's just to hang out.
You know
with buddies.
How big of a lie you're telling. First, you think anyone thinks I'm going to be with you at any point outside of work, buddies. And I'm going to be watching baseball with you.
Yeah, yeah. Ben, that remember?
I'm almost as uncomfortable walking around my neighborhood right now, considering what you're saying.
Let's get Biscuit in here. What up, Biscuit?
Hey, top of the morning to you. Hey, from one Miss Swiss guy to another, John. You know, they don't know what he's talking about, man. Midwest. Where's that?
I don't know nothing.
I've been up in Racine and Milwaukee and all those places, Peoria and Naptown and South Bend, all over the Midwest there.
You know what I'm talking about.
Out in Midwest.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
You couldn't get here fast enough.
you got that right, my brother. Hey, man. I'm calling, man, your last call there. Was he trying to say that Kaepernick wasn't blackballed? I didn't know people. I think even Goodell almost admitted that he was. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Yeah, he was dumb to opt out. We don't know why he did it or whatever, but come on, man. That dude, you know, even Pete Carroll, I think, admitted that he probably should have, brought Kaepernick in, man, and he could.
Well, I would say this, Biscuit. I don't believe. Now, blackballed means that all the owners got together and said, we're not going to sign him. I don't believe that happened. I believe that every owner. Here's the deal. Colin Kaepernick was so polarizing that he immediately, half of your fan base was going to be opposed, and then the other half was going to be thrilled. So but losing half of fan base, I think it was an economical decision by every owner. They're like, we don't need this. And oh, by the way, he's not good enough. And the question is, are you good enough?
To be a starter. He was definitely good enough to be a backup. And I think he was good enough to be a low-end replaceable starter. But to be a backup, there's just no doubt. I mean, Colin Kaepernick would have been considered.
Oh, no, absolutely. But are you worth it? Now, are we worth all the headaches and all the fans that we're going to lose and all of the interviews that we're going to do for a backup quarterback?
So you know what's interesting is that's why I think Tebow stunk. But
Tebow was another one.
The Jets found out. I know somebody who was with the Jets who were like, the worst thing we did was bring in Tebow.
Because the media crush on a third-string quarterback.
And the Jets with Brett Favre, they also weren't very happy about that. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Biscuit, from there.
My this is a scenario I think probably happened. I think maybe even Harbaugh might have brought him in. But it's like, hey, man, really think about that. So you get... You get a little peer pressure, it's only, 30 owners? So it's like more like a collusion type of thing. Like, hey, man, if you allow him to come in, then it's going to spread to the rest of the players. And you know.
Well, no, see,
kind of trying to stamp down on that.
Biscuit, I totally disagree. Here's the deal: is Harbaugh might have loved. Yeah, you know what? We're bringing Cap in, and then the owner goes, "Wait a minute, that ain't your money that we're about to lose. That's my money." When all the season ticket holders and a bunch of advertisers even are going to say, I ain't supporting your team. Because that's the way it was at that time with Colin Kaepernick.
I don't know. I mean, they brought in Vic, and, I mean, they didn't kill the Eagles.
They didn't. I think that was the fear of what it was, but Vic didn't kill the Eagles at all, and, in fact, played, and you didn't have – it depends on the city, the team, the fan base.
And, again –
although Cap was a lot
– even though Vic hadn't played in a while, the last we saw of Michael Vick was a lot better than the last we saw of Colin Kaepernick. Colin Kaepernick wasn't worth it at that time. He just wasn't worth the headache.
I disagree with you. I think it was some teams that might have been willing to do so. I'm not saying Kaepernick was an all-star player or whatever. And to your point, a lot of that is true. It might have been a little pushback early on, but I just think, man, they didn't give brother a shot, man. And there's some teams that just, you know, didn't even. You know, some of the garbage quarterbacks they got out there right now.
Oh, no. Hey, there's no argument that Colin Kaepernick was better than half the guys in the league because he could have backed up for any team. But again, are you worth it? Is it worth the headache?
The year Michael Vick, his final year before he went to jail, averaged about 154 yards per game throwing the football. Now, this is back in 2006 where you weren't throwing the football as much. 2013.
A lot of work done. TJ Duckett.
Under 53%. He was an average player.
Even though the dogs and everything else and the hype, Colin Kaepernick was toxic to an organization.
No, I'm not arguing that. I'm just telling you Michael Vick was meh as a player before he went in.
Well, yeah, Mike was blown up beyond what he actually was playing at. I mean, that's the truth. Mike was more living off of the spectacular play as opposed to the every snap consistency. Yeah, that was not the case. They were built on a rushing attack, too. I mean, that was, if I remember correctly, it was TJ Duckett. It was the 1-2 combination of Duckett and Warrick Dunn.
Yeah.
Right?
His final 2 years at 25 and 26 years old, the Falcons are 8-7 in 2005 under him, 15 starts, and 7-9. In 2006.
He just wasn't accurate.
No.
I mean, he had a real accuracy problem.
No, he was coming.
And a touch problem. He would throw it a million miles an hour on a slant.
You know, Michael Vick, as far as a player overall with the Falcons, had two winning seasons. Because I guess he got hurt in 2003, missed a lot of time. He was 8-6-1 in 2002, and then 8-6. He was okay. He was an okay player for the Falcons.
I think it's players who can make spectacular plays are the ones that, for me, like I always felt like, I don't know, I never saw him play. I'm just going off the numbers, but Pistol Pete is a spectacular passer, and I'm probably being a little disrespectful here, but you know, I remember even as a kid looking at his numbers like, this dude couldn't shoot. Like Pistol Pete's in a 30% range, a low 40s. Like Pistol Pete was not a good shooter. I sometimes wonder if Pistol Pete.
Well, his
was
whole
as
game
great.
Was outside.
Yeah, I wonder if he was as great as he got made out to be. Vic was a spectacular athlete,
and he wasn't nearly as good in pros as he was
at Virginia Tech last year. You talking about Vic or Pistol Pete?
P. Maravich.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe either of them. I mean, Vic had his moments, but Vic was not a great NFL quarterback. It was barely a. At times, a good NFL quarterback, but he was an explosive NFL quarterback, but he did not have consistency at all. But, you know, it's hard to get away from that Florida State game. That Florida State game is just etched indelibly in my mind. The same way that there are quarterbacks who have been better than we probably give them credit for.
Pete was 42%, 44%, and 45% in college. He shot 39, 37, and 37 times a game. 37 and 39 shots a game.
In college?
In college. That, averaged.
He shot. That's a shot a minute.
That's
a shot a minute unless I'm missing. Unless no. College basketball used to be 48 minutes.
Averaged 44 points a game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I just remember looking at that saying, this guy's just a ball hog. Like, what was so great about Pete Maravich? I always felt like Maravich maybe got a little too much run based on, like, Allen Iverson. In hindsight, Allen Iverson, now analytics will do Allen Iverson no favors at all. But in hindsight, you know, Allen Iverson, what he did was incredible for his size. But Allen Iverson shot the ball a ton, took bad shots, low shooting percentage. Now I'm also judging off of, you know, numbers I expect to see today in quality of shooting.
Well, I don't know where you got your 30% numbers on Maravich, though. He was a 44% shooter.
In the pros?
In the pros.
Yeah, 44. That's okay.
No, it's pretty good. There was no three-point line until the end of his career.
That's okay. He was a consistent 80% free throw shooter in the pros. Yeah, was there turnover numbers, but they didn't keep him at first. There's Pete. Look at his assists, 6.7 to 5 turnovers. His first year that they was kept, 5 assists to 4.1 turnovers. That's pretty terrible.
Pretty terrible. Yeah,
3.2 to 2.6, 1.9 to 1.9. Assist to turnover is not great for Pete Maravich.
No, he wasn't a very good passer. He shot the ball, but he was at 44%.
I mean, 42%
back then with no 3-point range.
41%, but they did penetrate. They didn't shoot from distance. It was much more mid range back then. There's no reason to shoot from distance.
Well, because he couldn't get open otherwise. He shot from distance plenty. Plenty.
Well, he shot from distance, but the mid-range game. But look how much he averaged, 31, 25, 27, 26. That looks great until you see that he was shooting, you know, 23 times, 28 times a game, 28 shots a game, 76, 77. Well,
829 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Did you guys see the transcripts? It's not going to go well for Derek Chauvin, the cop, the George Floyd cop. It's not going well.
I didn't read the transcripts.
Oh, my goodness.
I just know that
it's not horrific. Mm-hmm. One of the other cops, it was brought out in court because one of the other cops wanted to be his case dismissed because of the transcripts. This was in large part all Chauvin. It was all Chauvin, and his case wasn't dismissed. So, but it is ugly. It is horrible. Chauvin is a horrible, horrible person that put worldwide every cop in danger. Worldwide, that dude put every cop in danger. It's just, it's unbelievable how far-reaching that thing that this has gone. Clay Travis makes a pretty good point. Jimmy Johnson's return reminds us that we are overrating what will happen when athletes actually test positive. A lot of them are going to be right back, are going to be better in no time and be back.
Well, then we can bring up Spencer Dinwiddie, who still wasn't good.
Yeah.
He can't play. So, fine. Jamie Johnson, one guy. Spencer Dinwiddie couldn't even ride a bike.
No, but we'll see all these college positives that have how they tested out, and we'll see how many of these kids bounce back.
Yeah, well, here's the concern.
Well,
the antibodies may not be in there in January and February. Supposedly, if you get it, it's not as severe.
Well, to me, the biggest concern is these athletes get it and then they bring it home, and someone who is more apt to get sicker or die from it. Mm-hmm. See, that's the argument about schools: is kids are, for the most part, they have been pretty. And there have been kids that died. I'm not down to playing that, but for the most part, kids have actually been pretty immune to this thing and not gotten sick from it. But when they bring it home to their parents, like yesterday, you know, President Trump was talking about and Pence were talking about, you know, opening schools. We need to open schools. Don't listen to the CDC. We need to open schools. And I saw a lot of teachers on there going, hey, wait a minute. What if I catch it? from these kids. Now, are you guys going to pay me? And, oh, by the way, suppose I get really sick and die. What happens then? You know, because I am more apt to be sick than they are. How are we gonna do that? So, and these, they're carriers. They're super spreaders. Kids are super
spreaders.
They've
always been super, no matter what the disease is. And to the people, it doesn't matter. So
true. That's why you hate kids.
No, I don't hate kids. I just don't want anything to do with them.
Oh.
That's not hate. It's just an act of dislike.
That's right. I forgot. You're
or not even dislike. Just
you don't
leave me
care
alone.
Enough about them.
Yeah, it's not hate. Just leave me alone. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
But teachers have talked about, you guys can't even fund us for like normal things to get us through like the school year. And you think we're supposed to believe you're going to protect us?
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have the necessary wipes and the masks for us? Or are you going to force us to buy those ourselves?
Well, they'll probably have to buy them themselves. But it was interesting. The CDC said, how about this? Instead of the kids changing classes, the teachers change classes. Instead of all those kids in the hallways, keep them separated in the classrooms and the teachers change and go to each different classes.
They quarantine the kids for the day, every day.
For the day in their classroom.
And they stay in the same classroom.
I guess.
I don't know that kids like snacks. My son, I don't know how that would work because he already struggles with just one single class. And like, if you don't change things around him to keep him engaged, this is a problem. My wife's already talking about keeping our kids home and homeschooling all of them like he does my daughter. And I just can't imagine that.
I can't imagine
it for her.
You want to send them out?
Maybe you'll help.
Listen, even if there's no college football, I'm writing up 500 players based on their 2019 tape. That's not changing. I'm still going to keep doing my job.
Right.
So I'm just telling you that my job may be super long this year.
And
I may really focus on every player for as many hours as possible.
Right here in your office.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's get Chris in here. What do you say, Chris? Chris, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey,
yeah.
What's going on,
Chris?
Hey, how's it going? A long time listener. I was listening earlier, and I'm not sure which one of you guys was basically saying in a nutshell Michael Vick was an average quarterback for the Atlanta Falcons, which is a direct disrespect to not just him in particular, but the NFL, because he definitely was the transcendent a hybrid player that you're seeing now. That everybody from the NFL is trying to replicate from Lamar Jackson in Baltimore all the way through college. Picture this. Think about this. Think about if they would have put together an offense and built it around him like Harbaugh did in Baltimore in Atlanta and gave him one receiver who, when they stacked the box, and brought the safety down, he can go deep with, because he was known for throwing a nice deep ball. Man, Michael Vick would have won multiple championships if he wouldn't have got caught up with that whole dog incident. But he definitely was a transcendent player, and you guys were disrespecting him big time.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I agree.
I remember him because I was a Miami Hurricane fan and watched what he did in the AC or the Big East.
Yeah,
at the time.
But the complete thing that Michael Vick had he had a big strong arm. He did not have great deep ball touch. I can show you all the numbers.
And I could agree if he was in a Lamar Jackson offense, what he would have done. I agree with that. But he wasn't.
But they did run outside zones. No, that's not it. That's not entirely. They actually allowed him to run play action, boot action stuff. That's actually incorrect, Chris. They ran a boot action offense for him much of the time that allowed it, which is the same concept of the zone read with Lamar Jackson, where you have a run pass option, but you have the run option, which it's just changed from the bootleg action, which is under center most of the time, to being in the gun. Michael Vick, there was no pistol. There was no operating full time out of the shotgun. And I don't know that Michael Vick would have been great in a ball control offense. I think the boot action where you play off of play action offense, that's where Vince Young was best, who was a dual threat. It's where Lamar Jackson is best. Now, he could have had some better wide receivers. He had a very good running game to work off of for much of the time. Vick's problem was he couldn't throw with touch, and he couldn't throw with accuracy. He was frequently behind wide receivers on short passes and just threw rockets. And I think he was a transcendent player because he was an explosive athlete like we had never, ever seen at the position. There's no question. And Lamar Jackson.
Did they tailor the offense to him, though?
Yes.
Yeah.
For what was best at.
He did a lot on his own. He did a lot off script.
Well, that was part of what he did, though.
Well, I know. But as opposed to Lamar Jackson, which they tailor the offense around him.
No, but the offense was tailored. But at that time, there was no opportunity to create a zone read. Look, if you had Michael Vick playing today, he just came too early in the NFL. That's all that was. Michael Vick was born too early because there was no offense that catered to the running whims of a quarterback. They run the ball with Lamar Jackson. Had you done the same thing for Michael Vick, look out, because you see what Michael Vick's numbers are. I'm not disagreeing with that, Chris. I think that if he had been born later, but you couldn't expect the NFL to create an offense that leaned heavily on a quarterback's ability to run because Vick got hurt. Vick missed games every single year but one with Atlanta. There was a consistent issue with him missing some time as well. When he ran, phenomenal. But you couldn't ask him to throw it 40 times. That's not what you want to do. And his deep ball stuff that he had was, because Peerless Price could run deep routes, he was not an accurate deep ball thrower. I remember I wrote a lot about the NFL then. I'm not going to rewrite history on this one. Vic had a cannon for an arm. My comp for Lamar Jackson was Vic. Vic is Lamar Jackson's mentor, has been Lamar Jackson's mentor. I talked to Lamar Jackson about it at the Combine. Lamar loves Vic. The NFL's the slowest to catch up to anything. I do think that Michael Vick opened the door at one time, and the natural next guy in was Vince Young. Vince was the next natural guy in, 2001 draft, 2006 draft. So Vince was the next guy in, but then when Vince flopped out, you had dual threat quarterbacks, but nothing that was built around a quarterback. It wasn't until, see if you guys remember, when is the next time that an offense was tailored? At least
Robert Griffin III.
Tebow?
No. It was actually, I would say actually yes on RG3, but then he got hurt after his rookie year.
Right.
And it wasn't a running offense. It was they added some wrinkles.
Yeah.
So what Kyle Shanahan did was add the pistol and allow him to run the outside zone from the pistol. Tim Tebow would be one, but the big difference this is a potential running offense. The big catalyst, and he mentioned it, was not John Harbaugh. It was Jim Harbaugh with San Francisco with Colin Kaepernick. When he introduced the diamond formation and then the zone read stuff, nobody in the NFL was ready for it.
Well, it was a college guy who was more forward thinking. And right. Greg Roman was his guy, right?
Yeah, Greg Roman was
his guy. Who's now in Baltimore.
Yep. That was that is the guy, not Harbaugh. It's the Harbaughs, and that's why Greg Roman was so ready to do that. But the thing then what happened was the Green Bay Packers, who were embarrassed unbelievably on national television from that offense, what they did was they went to Texas A&M and got schooled up by Sumlin and his staff on, tell us all about the zone read, because they had been running it with Johnny. Tell us all about the zone read, and then tell us how it works and tell us how to stop it. And they studied how to stop it. And what they found was you attack the mesh point. And so the very first game of the next season, Clay Matthews, the very first play they saw it, went and hit Colin Kaepernick at the mesh point, which is the decision point of whether or not to hand off. He hit him, and Cap said, okay, I got to start handing this off. And basically, they played Kaepernick every single time. They said, we're not going to let you run the ball. You're going to have to give the football. And there will be no confusion off the edge. And now what they've done is it's so brilliant to watch the chess games of coaches. And some of these are college coaches doing this too. They will crash down on the runner, and depending on the quarterback, sometimes they'll crash off the edge on the runner, and then they'll twist their defensive lineman, or one defensive lineman will cut downhill on a slant, and then the defensive tackle will loop around so that they muddy up the blocking angles, and then linebackers will spill outside to the quarterback. There's so many ways to defend it now. That's why the zone read, and then you had the RPO. They said, oh, okay, if you're going to do that, now we're going to throw a passing option in at you now.
I know,
so we're
going to
go hardcore RPO.
If I'm Harbaugh, I schedule Arizona every year until I can and beat the hell out of someone. Why are you snitching? Why you out here snitching?
No.
Why you out here snitching?
Who right. said this?
I said, if I'm Harbaugh, I'm scheduling Arizona every time I can.
No, but A&M was a big reason. They went and studied. And I can't remember who the D coordinator was for A&M at that time. A&M was a big reason that Dom Capers and his staff learned at Green Bay learned to stop the zone read because they were running it. And they said, oh, well, here's the weaknesses. If you want to find a weakness of an offense, you talk to an offensive guy.
All right.
Because they'll tell you.
Oh, yeah.
They'll be like, well, this is the weakness.
Yeah, right.
Harbaugh signs a four-year deal with the play Arizona in the – and out of conference and beat them 60-0 every time. Why are you snitching?
All right, time to talk right now about, hey, I took mine this morning. It's water soluble. It's CBD, American Shaman CBD. It's different. Locally owned and operated with over 30 locations here all over from Galveston to Conroe, Katy to Beaumont, all points in between. American Shaman, S-H-A-M-A-N. The shaman was the healer in the tribe. And this is the healing ointment or the healing liquid that I took this morning. And I've got some joint problems, a hip, some back problems as well. It does. It calms. It relaxes. It helps healthy joint function, natural sleep, healthy inflammatory response associated with exercise. Not exercise so much as golf. Okay, so that's a little bit different. But it does also calm you down for when you're playing. I don't know what you play, but whatever it is, you're better when you're calmer. And that's what the CBD, it's the best of nature enhanced by science because it's water soluble. So you take the CBD oil and you put it in the water and it blends in with the water as opposed to other oils that don't. So if you're looking for that, it's CBD American Shaman. It's American Shaman. Visit one of their stores located all over the city. It's American Shaman CBD.
Well, hello. To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. We've got callers. Tyler wants to get in here talking about the kids. What do you say, Tyler?
What up, guys? How y'all doing?
Good, man. How are you?
Hey, man, I spoke with y'all the Friday before y'all took vacation. Good news, I don't have the Rona.
Nice.
So,
oh, that's right. You were going to get tested, right?
Yeah, twice. Yeah, man, I wanted to call. My wife is actually a first grade teacher, and my son, he lives with his mom and stepdad. He's got muscular dystrophy. So we are, you know, in the point to where when he goes back to school, you know, that's always a concern. You know, he's at high risk. And then her going back to school, you know, she's concerned, obviously, you know, for his safety. You know, so I think like every teacher has their own family and different dynamics and, you know, whether it's old sick grandma or, you know, stepson that's, you know, got a pre-existing condition that could, you know, be detrimental, you know, so it's one of those things that a lot of her and the teachers have been talking about. It, you know, the districts have been pretty supportive, but it's like the state itself, you know, they haven't really talk to the teachers. You know, they've had a lot of surveys and a lot of things, you know, the districts put out, you know, kind of feeling it out, man. But I mean, at this point, there's every teacher and every kid is a little bit different, man. You know how reckless kids are. I mean, with my little boy, I mean, he's eight, he's, you know, all over the place, but we've kept him inside. He's been outside doing a lot of fishing. It's not a feasible thing to, you know, tell a kid to put your hands in your pockets and stop playing with your mask all the time, you know? So, it's just one of those things, man. But I just thought I'd call and share that, man. Y'all take it easy. Have a good week.
All right, man. Appreciate it. It's going to be different. You know, we're talking about, we got a.
You're so lucky.
Why am I lucky? I got a 22-year-old at home.
I'm not saying you're lucky.
She's the real super spreader. Kids aren't super spreaders. It's the 20-year-olds that are super spreaders.
Yeah, they're the super spreaders.
They're the majority. The percentage of 20 to 30 year olds that have it is greater, and then 30 year olds are next, and it goes down.
You know what 5 year olds have? I have a runny nose. I have a runny nose. And when they get home, you know what they're giving you? Bubonic plague. Because they don't have to them. It's just like, my nose is runny. And I got diarrhea. Oh, what do you have there? Bubonic plague? My immune system has dealt with so much already in 5 years of playing on playgrounds that I'm the most powerful immune system known to man. So for me, it's just runny nose. For you, it's going to kill you. Like, oh, I don't want this then, Tommy. Get off the playground, Tommy.
Well, then why did you have 17 kids?
So we could all sit at home together forever, apparently.
I think it's a bad plan, Del.
We have our time together. This is amazing. We're getting to sit around and talk and watch you guys play video games for 14 hours. Go outside. Stay outside. Never come back in. Mom and Dad are trying to have relations.
And have another one of those super spreaders.
Why are you at my door? Where's my mom? Where's my mom? Where's my mom? She's over here. Face the other way. What do you need?
She's over here facing.
Why is she facing that way to begin with? Yeah. I mean, even without a global pandemic, it seems like you approach marriage with a bad plan.
Trump was doing a warp speed.
You had a horrible plan.
I thought we're doing a warp speed on vaccines.
Two companies who don't really know
August.
Much. Two companies who don't really know much about, you know, producing at that type of volume got grants to try to get it done. They have no experience doing it, but hey, let's see what you can do. That's comforting.
That's fine.
Yeah.
One of them.
Do you ever cook for like 40 people as opposed to just yourself?
No.
It's hard, but you can do
it. It's hard.
You can do it. It's hard.
But I, you know what?
When I'm like Pizza Hut.
You know what?
If get this grant.
If you have done it before, I would hire you to cater an event. If you've never done it before and the event's important to me, I'm not hiring you. I'll hire someone else.
Well, but they make the best food. Okay, so there you go.
But there's
not everybody else has got that food.
But there's a real possibility that they don't make the food. And they can't bring it to you because they've never done it before.
Well, they can try because I want that food. Do you want food that's inferior or doesn't work that everybody's going to spit out? You want the good food that's working.
I want it to be delivered.
Right?
Hold on a second.
We'll try.
Oh, that feels great.
So there's a coronavirus vaccine tracker on New York Times. It's got this. It's great. It will teach you so much. Look at this.
What?
There's one that was just landed for approval.
How about that?
It's gotten through phase 3.
But they don't know how to make a bunch. They made one. They made one syringe.
That one vial. Like every movie we've ever seen. There's one vial.
Who gets it? President Trump, probably.
Well, that'd be helpful for the rest of the world.
Okay, approval. Regulators.
I think most everybody
country,
in the United States, everybody wants the president to get it first.
To get the one vial first?
Oh, man, this could be good.
I'm pretty sure. I mean,
I feel like you're misjudging how people think.
I feel like the country's united behind him. That's what I feel like. Let's get Longhorn Keith in here. What do you say, Longhorn Keith?
Hey, what's going on, fellas? Hey, you guys, you probably talked about this earlier, but what do you guys think about the decision that the Ivy League made? And then I'll make my comments right after that.
I don't have a problem with it. If they feel like this is best for them and their kids and whether, you know what? Get this. What Harvard said, yeah, we're going to have classes, but you're going to do them virtually, but we're still charging you the same amount of money.
Well, get ready. That's going to be every private school everywhere. Yeah. Ain't nobody looking to.
And so if they're not going to, I understand it.
You don't get the college experience?
As a league, we're not doing this. We'll have everything in the spring. And if we ain't ready by the spring, then we ain't ready by the spring.
Let me ask you. So in most Power 5 conferences, a football player, I would say a certain percentage, a majority, it probably changes from school to school. Let's go Alabama and Clemson. Let's go the two biggest. I would say, what's more important to you right now, your college studies or your football? For football players, it's football. It's going to be football for sure. Mm-hmm. What's more important to you as a university and much of your followers, your boosters? Football. I don't think I'm out of line of saying that. I'm not saying it's everybody, but I'm saying it's a big percentage. In the Ivy League, I would say this is the big difference. In the Ivy League, most of those players there, they have no NFL aspirations. If they do, they know they're super long shots. They're there for the schooling. So if that's going to be the case, that's an easy decision for them to make. And there's so much private money that comes in. The thing is, Keith, FBS schools don't have that same luxury. Your team has the luxury of having a war chest. Texas is one of the teams. I think Texas A&M, too. They both have war chests. So if football doesn't go the way that you expect it to, they're going to be all right. There will be cuts and stuff like that. But other schools, man, they cannot.
But here's my take on that, though, Lance, and I'm glad you brought that up. My take on it is I agree with the Ivy League stance, and I think that all the power – I think that college football, in essence, all the sports should move to the spring, number one, just to ensure the safety. But more importantly, it would be better to get a better sum of what you were expecting to make in football money and revenue in the spring that you know you'll probably have people in the stands versus trying to get a piece of the pie and hope that you can get some people in the stands in the fall. I mean, to me, I think if you – and here's the other part of that. It's not like there's this huge – because there's this huge gap at the end of the season anyway. So you literally could play the spring – do all the recruiting. I know it'd be a nightmare for people like you, Lance, to try to figure out, okay, how am I going to rank these guys and get ready for the draft? But at the end of the day, to me, I just think it'll be a better option for football in general. You take a look at Stanford, they're losing, you know, 11 varsity sports. Now, granted, they're sports that probably people weren't paying attention to anyway, but nonetheless, I think if you still get a piece of the pie versus none, I mean, you get a larger piece of the pie in the spring than you would just a small piece in the fall.
Yeah, I agree.
Yep, and I think that's ultimately, Keith, what you're saying is what I've come to the realization, and I know John's been saying this. I think that's the reality, is if you play in the spring after a vaccine, so I'm reading this, it's CanSino Biologics is the
from
first.
From China, though. So are it's from China. So
that's the problem. China said they're going to do all theirs before they send it out anywhere else. But strong immune response leading the Chinese military to approve it on June 25th for a year as a specifically needed drug, blah, blah, blah. But there is in phase three right now, there are four vaccines for large-scale efficacy tests. It's already past phase one, phase two. Now there's four in phase three. So we are on pace, I think, to get it. There's an outside shot in November, I think more than likely December, with more widespread distribution in January. Well, if that's the case, why even take chances when if you don't even think you can complete your season and – very few people will be in the stands, maybe. Why not wait until the spring? I don't love it. It's not convenient, but I don't care about convenient for me. Who cares? I don't care about what's convenient for the NFL draft. That's irrelevant. What's important is people's health. What's important is colleges. First of all, colleges need this money too. We keep talking about athletic programs. Do you know how much athletics also funds many college? Mm-hmm. You know this. Mm-hmm. I mean, LSU needs that money for their college. They're not in great shape as a school from a financial standpoint. I know that was the case with the Les Miles. One of the reasons they couldn't cut Les Miles is they were not in great shape financially as a university.
Right. But Taft does make a donation to the university every year, which is huge. We agree with I think you're right, Keith. If they moved everything to the spring, football to the spring, they'll be much better off.
Because they're financially. They're more likely to have people on the stands.
And vaccines.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
All right. So, look, I want to talk right now about Lance Loken. There are so many examples. There's one example here of Gary and Bessie. They moved up to Fort Worth already to be closer to their daughter. They needed to sell their house in a hurry. In just 2 days, they had 46 showings, 19 offers, and sold for $10,000 over the list price. These are real numbers. And the difference is with Lance Loken and his group, and everybody else, is how many more people they reach. Because the Loken Group does so much more, and people are just, it's unbelievable what kind of access they have to so many people. The Loken Group at Keller Williams Platinum can give you an immediate cash offer as well, without the large hidden fees. So if you just want to sell your home, they'll come up right now and they'll give you an immediate cash offer for your home. Skip the prepping, the showings, the open house, go straight to sold. You can do this. All right, so listen, this is the only agent in Houston that you will call, that I will call. You got to go with the Loken Group, 281-861-4624. You need to sell your home. Go to thelokengroup.com. That's THELOKEN group.com, thelokengroup.com.
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 98.7.
Wait, what?
I said 98.7. That's my show.
Let's try this one more time, okay?
My name is Stephen A. Smith, and you're listening to 97.5 FM.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.